in Kingston. I was there for 2 months. I was in Barbados. I was in Port of Spain. I was in Fernando. I was in St. Lucia's, running meetings. And then I've been going all over the world.
But you're not performing.
Meetings. Yes.
You're not doing Tutti Frutti. You're not doing none of that.
No, I let all that go.
Is it now, in the press material, it describes that you've denounced this. Have you denounced rock and roll, Little Richard?
I wouldn't use the word denounce. At the age of 51, I just don't do it. You know, because I'm wiser now than I used to be. You know, I just believe Tina Turner is remarkable. I know her age, which I won't, you know, say. But
will you hold up fingers?
No, I'm not going to do that on Tina. Tina's my baby. I love you, Tina. She's beautiful. No, but what it is, when I see Tina jumping all around the stage and leaping up in the air, I say, oh, boy, and keep throwing up her legs and able to bring them back down. It's one thing to throw them up, but to bring them back, that's another story. I said, boy, this is remarkable. I just decided that at this age and stage of my life, there are so many people that have came from me, such as Jimi Hendrix, which was my guitar player. Billy Preston was my organist. James Brown, I discovered him. He was my vocalist. And Joe Tex. David Bowie came from me. The Beatles was my singing group.
I know that.
The Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger was my group. And Elvis Presley came from me, Little Richard. See, people don't realize that. I was on RCA Victor before Elvis Presley. It was called Camden at the time. They put the black artists on Camden, and I was over there in 1951. I was recording. Yeah. And that's when people said that Little Richard say he's the king or something. But they just don't know. It's never been a time that I never was, really. I can't hardly think of
a
time.
You're still out there.
That's
through
right.
Everyone else's music.
That's right.
But don't look. Suppose Tina calls you on the phone. And she says, hey, Richard, let's do the greatest music video in the world. Let's come back and let's do Rip It Up. Or let's do Slipping in a Slide like it's never been done before. You and me, we're going to make the greatest music video in the world. You got Tina on the other end of the line. Would you come back and do it?
I said, Tina, I love you, girl. You are a sweet girl. I said, but I am going to watch you jump up in the air, and I'm going to watch you throw that leg up. I ain't going to try that. I may not bring mine down. I'm telling
All
you
right,
the truth.
Okay. Little Richard is not going to do it again.
No, I'm through with rock and roll as far as me being a performer.
Right.
I've done my job. You know, I build
You've
the...
You've done
see,
your job.
See, there was many builders, you know, many black artists that contributed to the building and many white artists. But I was the architect. So the building has been constructed, and I just want to sit in the villain and watch the repairing.
Now, let's talk about architecture then,
yes,
because
yes.
You are one of the pillars, foundations is
that
in the
hold
ground.
That building.
Right. Now, what went into that cement that made your foundation? Who influences an original? You're an original.
Yes. Well, who influenced me was, it's very strange, Mahalia Jackson. When I was a little boy, it wasn't no rock. It was Swing and Sway with Sammy Kay. And my mom and dad was just jumping up and just throwing each other around on the floor. Daddy throwing mother all between his legs. I used to be saying, oh, mother gonna hit her head. And just throwing her all up under there. And it was Swing and Sway with Sammy Kay. I couldn't swing and I couldn't sway, so I rocked. See, rock and roll is really, really rhythm and blues up-tempo.
Right.
What happened is, Alan Freed started calling it rock and roll. I remember he brought me to the Paramount.
I want to ask you about Alan Freed. Let's go to Alan Freed, okay? Because there's a lot to talk about here because we got a lot of ground to cover. I want to ask you about Alan Freed. Alan Freed was credited as being one of the discoverers of rock and roll. He was also discredited being involved in the Payola scandal. What do you remember about the man at the time? Was he a guy that was really on the take? Did he deserve what happened?
He was the greatest. I've never met nobody like Alan Freed. He was a young, good-looking Jewish guy that was really together. I love him, and I tell you, I like to tie his tie for him or whatever. He was just so beautiful. He called a spade a spade. He called a nook a nook, a hook a hook. He played the records. If you had a good record, he would play it. He don't care whether you was black or white. Yeah. He brought me to the Paramount Theater, and my name in the big lights, Little Richard. You know, I'm just new from the country, from Macon, Georgia. And I'm coming out of the country where I've been eating plantains and sleeping on the floor and carrying water on my head. my neck was very tired. But what happened is, when he brought me here, he put my name up there in these big lights, Little Richard, and he had Paul Anka opening my show, Buddy Holly and the Crickets, Larry Williams, Boney Maroney, Short Fat Fanny, the Clovers. Everybody was on the show. And this man is the father of disc jockeys. He's the king of the DJs. And I don't think he's discredited. I don't care what it was, payola or leola. He is not discredited. He has the credit for me. You was the greatest, Alan. I know you can't hear me. You gone. But Miss Freed, wherever you are, he's all right.
All right, good. Now, I want to ask you about this. Let me talk about, come back to what I say. What influences an original? What influences an original? What got you into playing the piano, standing up, and all that crazy stuff you did at the
piano?
Well,
the reason I stand up because I got tired of sitting down, really. Oh, God. I got tired of sitting down. I stood up and I threw my leg up on the piano. I played with my toes, with my elbows, and I would lay on my back and play the piano from the back. But my influence was Mahalia Jackson, Clara Ward Singers, Ruth Brown, Roy Brown, Elmo James.
Elmo
James, although he was singing blues, you know, Good Morning, Little Schoolgirl, Can I Go Home With You? And I would just sing that all night. I got on the piano. I couldn't play at the time, but I always wanted, and I just tore up my mother's piano. I tore that piano up. I tell you, I just knocked them keys and pushed them keys and hit them keys to find it. I think the keys got tired of me and said, I'm going to play today.
Let's go back to your original. One of the things that you write about, and one of the things that saddens me in reading the book, is your view that you were really ripped off frequently in your career, that you had made bad deals. What was your initial pay scale with Specialty Records? That launched it, and as I have all these little Specialty Records at home, that's a 45 record, cost 89 cents, mm-hmm. right? That's what Tootie
and I didn't get not a dime of that 89 cents you spent. I'm glad you bought it, but I didn't get a penny of it. It's a shame they kept all that 89 cents and didn't give me any of it. I haven't been paid. I was getting a half a cent a record, which was very low. But I never got the two halves to put together to make a penny. There's been 25 years that I haven't received a dime. Specialty Records, which is Art Roop, Venice Music. They sold Venice Music to ATV, which is Sam Trust. They don't even send me a Christmas card. I see my tunes on all the television stations. I see my tunes in all the movies. I see the mail orders. I see, like Waylon Jennings recorded... Yeah. Lucille, and it was number one in the country film not long ago. I didn't get a dime. VJ Records didn't pay me.
These are songs you wrote.
Yes.
These are just things that you...
I wrote these
songs. Your name's on
And my
them.
Name, Rock and Roll Classics. These are classic tunes today. Mercury Records never paid me. Brunswick Records never paid me. Art LeBeau never paid me. Well, Lou Droza never paid me. Laugh Records, Behara Brothers, they never paid me. No. Then they sued me for slander because what I said.
Well, Richard, if you... You know, how did the what were you doing wrong?
I didn't do nothing wrong.
You portray yourself as a victim, totally. You must have been doing something wrong to have such bad deals all the time.
No, I didn't do nothing wrong. I just found out they thought I was a fool. They thought I was a little black fool from Macon, Georgia. It's not that I was wrong. They were just crooks, and they was wrong. You know, they just took my kindness for weakness and my goodness for granted. Mm. They didn't want to pay me. And what made me want to go after this money? Now, I'm not the only artist that's been ripped off. There are many, 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 many black artists that have been ripped off, and I'm really speaking for them also. And there are many white artists, not only black. There are many white artists. Mick Jagger was ripped off. The Beatles was ripped off when they came out. But they made so much that they still got some. I didn't get nothing. When I saw Esther Phillips die, when I saw Big Mama Thornton die, when I saw Jackie Wilson die, Joe Tex, ZZ Hill, and many artists that died. Now, some of those artists got paid, but many of those artists didn't get nothing. When they died, they went around through the streets with a cup taken up collection. And I was determined. I said, that's not going to happen to me. I said, I'm going to build a home called the Bouquet of Love for black, white, red, brown, and yellow. So when the entertainers become old and when they get afflicted, when they get sick, they have a place to stay, and then they can be buried with class and with dignity.
Where is that located?
I'm going to, it's
oh,
not
you're
building.
Going to
We're
going to
build from this book here, the royalties from this book. I'm going to take so much of it, and I'm going to give it to different organizations, and I'm going to take so much of this, and I'm going to build the bouquet of love for all people. And if they pay me, and which I know they are, because God is a just God. And when I get the money, I'm going to use it for the bouquet of love.
Let's move on from, we're talking about the foundation, to the many people you've influenced. Can you recall some of your early meetings with the Beatles?
Oh, yes.
And what they said to you, what
Ooh,
you said to them,
yes.
where you were, and,
yes.
and what it was like making early music with the Beatles.
I can see it right now, almost like a vision. When I first went to Liverpool, Brian Epstein's daddy owned it. A lot of record stores, and he brought me to the ballroom there. And when I walked in, he said, "Richard, I got four guys. Would you mind taking a picture with my group?" He said, "One day I hope they record and they become famous." He said, "I'll give you a percentage to take this tape back to the States," which I didn't even take it. Mm-hmm. I didn't believe they was going to make it. I must tell you the truth.
No, okay. So you sat in the club and you saw their set. Did you see their set?
No, I heard it from I was behind stage.
Right,
I was in the dressing room.
Now they're talking about that may even been before Ringo was part of the group.
No, Ringo had just came with them.
With the group, okay. Mm-hmm. What do you remember thinking about what they were doing there?
Well, they were singing "Love, Love Me Do." You know, I love you, so please, 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 let me do. They would have sung "Good Golly Miss Molly," but I was on the show; they couldn't sing it.
All right.
They sound good. Paul was unbelievable. To me, I felt that he could make it himself. I felt that the Rolling Stones could make it all the way because they were so rocker, really rockers type group. But after I went on the stage and they were so excited, they just wanted to touch me. I took them with me to Hamburg, Germany, to the Star Club, where they went on right before
they
me. They had my name out in the streets, and the Beatles had a little name in Hamburg where they had been going there working in the Star
Club.
But they was bringing all the groups out of England there, you know, to perform. And so we went there, and we were sitting in the dressing room between shows, me and Paul, John, and they were listening to me, and they liked it that, woo! They wanted that so bad, you know, and Paul could do it, you know, and he would just get, you know, he couldn't do it as good. He could do it, but not where he wanted to be.
What did they then do from that point, in your view as a musician, that in addition to the shrewd management that helped launch them? How did they grow musically?
I think that they grew very rapidly because what they did was, I think the Beatles themselves were surprised with the phenomenal success that happened to them. I'm sure they were shocked because they went back and got the old music. They went back and got me, Chuck Berry Bo Diddley. They went back and picked us up, you know, and Mick Jagger went back and got the Muddy Waters and Elmo James and Howlin' Wolf. And they just, what they did, they brought it back to the public. Instead of coming out of America, they brought it from Europe.
Got it.
And threw it back across the water. So now, here it is. It's good.
And then they had the ability to write good stuff themselves.
Oh, they're fantastic. Some of the greatest writers.
Unbelievable. We'll take a break. Our phone number, 570-1199. Lots more with Little
Richard.
You. We're back with Little Richard. I don't know if I've even shown you the book. This is The Life and Times of Little Richard, the Quasar of Rock. The Quasar, distant, shining star.
That gives off energy.
It gives off energy. You still have a lot of energy left.
Oh, boy.
Look, I want to read something from the book here. Let me get this straight. Page 188. Then I want you to comment on this because you put everything straight out in the book. Talking about drugs. Mm-hmm. I spent thousands and thousands of dollars getting high.
That's right.
I missed a lot of engagements being laid up. I got behind financially. I got behind in my life. I got so heavily into drugs for a year that I never went to see my mother.
That's right.
You said they should should have called me Little Cocaine.
That's right.
I was sniffing so much of this stuff. My nose got big enough to back a diesel truck in and unload
it. That's right.
Drive it right out again.
Right? That's right.
How can you, it's $1,000 a day on coke.
It was more than that, really. I just loved it. You know, I would go to bed at night, and there are many people that are out there in television land that know what it is to get tired. I had a hectic, my schedule was just really, it's really hard for me. And I would get up in the mornings, and I would get take a one-in-one. I would get pure cocaine out of Mexico. It would be shining like diamonds. You would think I had a bag of diamonds, and it was only a bag of coke, folk. And I would put this stuff in my nose. I started off with a one-in-one and end up with a 12-and-12. I took so much cocaine to when I would blow my nose, nothing but flesh and blood would be on this hench, but my membranes was coming out. Then I was shooting in my leg. Guys were shooting me with a needle. And I would mix cocaine and heroin together. Then I became an alcoholic. And one night I was appearing in Los Angeles at Magic Mountain, and my friend, 21 years old, made reservations to come to hear me. He never did arrive. He got shot in the head. Another friend of mine, a light-complected black guy, was coming out of a building one night. His name is Curly Knight. And these guys thought he was white, some young black guys, and they cut him up with a butcher knife and put him in the trunk of the car. Which the color don't matter, you know, whether he's black or green or blue or whatever. He was a man that God made. Then I had another friend that had a heart attack. Ike and Tina Turner had an engagement in Miami, Florida. Tina got sick and couldn't go, and they wanted a wild performer, so they called me. And I went in her place. I went down there, and I made a lot of money. I came back. My brother Tony wanted to borrow some money from me. I said, I'll let you have it. The next morning, he got up and walked his little boy and watered his lawn, and he fell dead, one of my baby brothers. And it shook my mind. It started me to thinking more seriously about my life than I've ever thought in my life. Well, and it's all in the book.
When you are so strung out on drugs like that, I mean, I've interviewed a lot of people who have made that transition. Sometimes you got to hit the bottom in order to clean up, to totally clean up. Now, I want to say one thing. There's people watching right now who have a coke problem.
Yes.
Have an alcohol problem.
Yes.
A heroin. They're watching. They're listening to what you're saying.
Yes.
They wish they had that gleaming bag.
Yes.
What do you say to somebody right now about how to stop? Even though they know that they should, they still want that high.
Well, you know, I didn't go to a doctor. I didn't go to a counselor. A miracle was worked on me by God. I stopped overnight, and I was a heavy addict. But it was just the power that came over me, and I knew it was God. But I like to tell the people out in television land that, you know, everything sparkle is not a diamond, and everything shine is not gold. But I want to say to you that the grass may look greener on the other side, but believe me, it's just as hard to cut. You know, you don't have to do that. You know, think on positive things and positiveness. You know, goals that you want to reach and strive hard to reach them. And you can make it if you try. Believe me, I was a little poor boy down in Georgia, the third child of 12, and we was poor, poor, poor. And it's in my book. You've seen it on me on television talking about my book. So, it's in the stores. Read it. You'll find out about all of it.
I want to ask you, I want to dwell on drugs, but I found this a fascinating statement. The drugs brought me to realize what homosexuality had made me. When I felt that, I wanted to hurt. I wanted to kill. I don't understand that. The drugs brought me to realize what homosexuality had made me.
I don't understand that either.
Well, you wrote it.
I don't understand the way it's said.
Well, you say homosexuality takes over your whole mind, but it's an illusion. It's not really any excitement. It's like masturbation. It's false. It's not a completeness. When you hug and kiss a man, you feel like something is missing afterwards.
Well, what I want to say this about the word homosexual, personally, I don't like that word homosexual. I want to say it, gay, being gay. I would like to say that, you know, a long time ago, I've came a long way, and I've learned that how artistic gay people are. The reason I know how artistic they were, because I was one myself, and from a little boy. And I know that they're so lovable and they're so kind. You know, discrimination and segregation is so heavily still in the world today. It's here now. Mm-hmm. How people segregate against a person because they're gay, because of what they are. And then they want to find out who's gay and who's not. It's one thing that I've learned in my evangelism, and I teach this, that they're human beings. and I'm a human being. After learning that I was a human being, because I thought I was an animal, and I didn't know that I was human personally. And since I learned that I'm a human being, I've learned to that all of us are human beings, and that we all can be saved, we all can behave, we all can be brave, and that God loves us all, and that He don't separate or discriminate against anyone, and that Jesus died on the cross for gay people. He came out of the tomb for gay people. He stands in the presence of the Father Jehovah for gay people today.
We got a couple people want to talk to you on the phone.
Thank you.
Little Richard on the line. Hello? Hello?
Yes, my name is Keith, and I'm from Brooklyn.
All right, go ahead, Keith, you're on.
Okay, for the king. My question is, what did you call your... before Alan Freed coined the phrase rock and roll, how were you describing the music that you were playing to people, to the public?
I used to call it the real thing.
Okay.
All right, good.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome. Keith, let's go to another call. Yeah. Bill Boggs on Midday, hello.
Yeah, how you doing? My name's Tom from New Jersey, and I have two questions for you. One is, what do you think of the performers now that are selling music with music videos, when I know it wasn't around when you were performing, but how do you feel about it now?
I just wish they had been here when I started. But, you know, I considered my first movie as a video, The Girl Can't Help It, which I think I was one of the first people to have one.
You should see that. That's true.
The Girl Can't Help It
is a music
with
video.
Jane Mansfield and myself, and then it was a very big hit for 20th Century Fox. To me, that was one of the first videos.
Yep, that's true.
It was gorgeous, and I'm proud to see the advancement that has been made in music, period.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Another call? Bill Boggs on the line with Little Richard here. Hello.
Yes, Richard. First of all, I'd like to say that I love watching you perform, and I think you're a wonderful performer.
Thank you.
What I'd like to ask you is about 9 months ago, I was in a drug and alcohol rehabilitation center. And I am also a musician, and I write music for shows and also perform in them myself. What I'd like to ask you is, in any dependency, when you depend on one thing, or when I depended on the alcohol and drugs, it helped to alleviate a lot of my fears in performing and in writing. And how did you deal with, now that you had lost that dependency, getting over the fear of writing and performing and just doing it on your own? I had a fear of losing my creativity.
It's a good question.
Well, what I do, now I've just put something else in the place of that. You know, I keep busy. I don't like to be idle at all at any time. You know, I stay busy. And as I've made the statement earlier, I think positive. You know, I don't entertain no negative vibe. I believe that you're just what you think you are. I believe that if you think that you can't overcome, you can't. If you believe that you can, because thoughts are things. Believe that.
Thoughts are things.
Thoughts are things. If you believe that you can overcome, you can overcome. If you believe you can walk away, you can walk away. If you believe that you can't make another day, you can't. You must believe that you can. The Bible even says that. The Lord says, so as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, you're just what you think you are. And if let every man be persuaded by his own opinion. It's a choice that you have to make.
Thank you for that. We'll take a break, and we'll return with Little Richard right after this.
Thank you.
I am thinking of a
we're back with Little Richard, and Little Richard's here with one of his old friends.
Yes, I used to jump all over the top of these things. And my brother said, oh, Richard, please get down. He thought I was too old to be up there, but I was up there.
Man, what was the first piano? Where was it in the house?
In the front room. We called it the living room, but it was just the front room.
Just the front room?
And we had an old upright piano, and my grandfather had gave it to my mother for me. And that's the piano I learned how to play on.
Now, I want to ask you if where this came from. I have in front of me the lyrics to Tutti Frutti, which is in Little Richard's book, all right?
That's right.
Now, wop, bop-a-loo-mop, a lop,
bam, boom.
Yeah. Who thought that up?
Me. I thought it up. I don't know where it came from, though. I don't know who gave it to me. But I tell you what it is, really, though. One night I had forgot what to say. I just said, wop, bop-a-loom-bop-a-lop, bam, boom.
All right. And then
it was over.
Then the song goes on to say, tutti-frutti, all Rudy, five times.
But that's not the original way it was. You can't say certain things on the television.
No, I know.
It was Tutti Frutti, good something else. And they told me, you know, it was risque. That's what they called it at the time. But I got a girl to help clean the things up. And then I got a gal named Sue. She knows what to do. I got a gal named Daisy. She almost drive me crazy. Woo! And on. That's it.
That's what happened.
That's it. That was it.
How are the hands? How are the fingers?
It's all right. They still move. I haven't played in so long. It still moves. You know, my fingers are still there. And my fingers were so fast. It was just fast, you know, and Jerry Lee came out and, you know, he was playing country, came out and took my, started using the same thing, and he's just a, he did got to make it sound a little different.
That
hurts your finger, too, when you do that. Jerry, I see why you stopped doing it. It hurts your finger.
How did the beginning of Slipping and Sliding go?
Oh, boy, I really can't, you know what, earnestly, you all may not believe me, but you know, it's the first time in 20-some years, I haven't played the piano in years.
Really?
Yes, and earnestly, you have to really play. A piano is like playing ball. You have to play to keep it. You know, if you don't, you lose it. Since I've been speaking, I got a lady to play for me now. You know, I don't even play for myself.
Yeah?
I think I'm going to start back, but I got to practice. You know, my mother passed not long ago, so it kind of put me in a little depression way there.
I
know I used to do a song. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. That's it. That's all of it, you all. My thumb is hurting.
Oh.
But it's all in my book, The Life and Times of Little Richard. You've got to read it. Let me show them. I haven't held up
show.
My own book. Look, y'all. Isn't that wonderful? A down-to-earth guy from Macon, Georgia, Little Richard.
Just another one of the guys.
Just
right?
Another one
hey,
of the guys from
what,
the street.
What about the period of the drag period, you know, with the royal. How'd you get into that originally, wearing those crazy costumes?
I mean, I had to. In Macon, Georgia, racism was so heavy.
You had to disguise yourself.
I had to disguise, honestly, I had to, because I was the first artist, black artist, to sing for white people, and they didn't allow me to talk to the white girls. And so what I had to do, when I put on my eyelashes, and my hair was that high, and my headband, and my makeup, I would go and talk to a white girl, and they would say, oh, Richard. My band boys go, they say, watch it, boy.
What did your mother think, though, when she would see you, when your mother would see you, like, on the Mike Douglas show? And you're dressed in all this crazy stuff. Did she ever call you and say,
she
was
saying,
tone it down a little bit, Richard?
My brother said, Richard, that's ridiculous. Richard, that's terrible. My older brother said, Richard, please. And I had a high voice. I would go and say, Charles, he said, I'm going to kill you tonight. It was really something. My brothers wasn't ready for all those outfits I would have on. But I would have on mirrored suits and beaded suits, mirror shoes, rhinestone shoes. I would have rhinestones all through my hair, all up my arms. You know, Prince and Michael, they're dressing wild, but they haven't got quite as wild as I was yet. Waiting on them, though, to get there. Y'all going to make it.
How about Liberace?
Oh, my God. Well, Liberace started getting wilder after me. I remember I was on Mike Douglas' show with him, and I wore my mirror suits one day, and he said, woo! He didn't know I was on the show, see, and he had never been out. And he looked at me, and he was able to look in my mirrors at himself. He found out he wasn't shining as much as me.
I want to ask you your opinions. I wrote down just some people that the period who came in about the same period of time you did in rock and roll.
Okay.
And your reactions to them.
I'm gonna be very true.
Be honest.
Honest as I can be.
Pat Boone.
He took my song and he recorded it. And I'm so glad you did, Pat, because you made the road wider. Thank you, Pat.
Elvis Presley.
I love him. That's my buddy, my baby. I love him. We are very good friends. And it was a very great loss to the music world. Elvis is one of the greatest performers ever lived in this world. And electrifying, elevated. Oh, he's just, you can't say enough. He's just beautiful. I love Elvis.
A man at times.
And a legend.
They said at times you were feuding with this man, Chuck Berry.
Me and Chuck, Chuck, I love you. We're good friends, me and Chuck. You know, he's old and I am too. We both are. And so two old arguments get together and start a feud. Oh, Chuck.
How about one of my personal favorites?
Chuck is a legend, though. Please let me say
indeed.
This. Chuck is a legend, and he is one of the founding fathers. He is. And I love you, Chuck, and I love to hear you play guitar. And I see you do the duck walk. Don't you stand on that too long. You're too old, boy.
Now, one last one. We'll take a break. Fats Domino.
He's underrated. He always has been.
I agree with you.
He's one of the most underrated entertainers ever been. You know, he was really a country singer. If you listen to his music, yes. But he was underrated. Fats was not outspoken. He didn't talk. See, if I saw, I wasn't getting enough courage. I said, hey, put the cameras over here. Fats wouldn't do that.
He used to move the piano.
Hey.
Remember when he moved the piano
with his stomach. He would always push the piano with his stomach. I used to feel sorry for his stomach. But he was kind of keeping it down.
Hey, we'll be back and wrap things up with Little Richard right after this. We're back just a minute here with Little Richard. It's been gone by all too quickly. His book is The Life and Times of Little Richard, the Quasar of Rock. Charles White actually wrote this with you, and on the front is a quote from Mick Jagger saying, Little Richard is the king. Richard, you don't think we're ever going to coax you back to the piano?
No, I think that I've had my day, I've had my way,
even
and
James Bond came back.
That's right.
Never
but I'm,
say never.
No, I'm just going to say nay, nay, nay. Oh boy, it's been beautiful. I really had a good time today. It's been a lot of fun. You know, it makes me feel. I feel young today, being on this show and seeing all these people coming in just to look at me. It's so elevating. Thank y'all.
You're quite welcome.
Really like
Let's
it.
Have a nice thank you, everybody in the studios are watching for Little Richard.
Thank you.
It's funny, we started the program with two people here, and gradually during the course of the show, people from offices and everything have come and been standing behind the cameras. And there's one last question. What did you do with all those costumes? Where are they now?
They're in my closet. My mother locked them up because I was giving them away so fast. So I gave one to Dick Clark to put in Washington in the
Smithsonian Institute.
And we have one in Atlanta in the same place, place. And I'm using them for a different thing now. They're going to have a museum in my hometown of me.
That'll be good. One last thing. What kind of music are you listening to today when you listen to rock? You got to buy. If I sent you to the record store, what three albums might you want to buy?
If I went to the record store, the three albums that I would like to buy if I went, I would get one by Jimmy Swagger. I love country. I'm a country music nut. I was before Charlie Pride, y'all, but I just couldn't get in the country
and
hall
the
of fame.
And the other two?
The other two would be, I would get one of Mahalia Jackson's old records, and next would be Andre Crouch.
All right, that's it. Little Richard, we loved it. Thank you very much. Have a great afternoon, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Wop bam baloo mam blam bam bam to the boot. She rocked to the west, but she's the gal that I love best. To the booty, oh Rudy. 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 A wop bop a loo mop a lump bump bum. I got a gal named Daisy. She almost drives me crazy. Yes, indeed. Boy, you don't know what you do to me. To the booty, oh Rudy. 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 Bop, 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 bop.
my bum got a gal named Daisy. She almost drives me crazy. Got a gal named Daisy. She almost drives me crazy. She knows how to love me, yes indeed. Boy, you don't know what she do to me. Tootie fruity. Can't believe you want to leave.
I'm ready, 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 go. Yeah, 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 yes, baby. Sorry, I've gotta go. I'm gonna come back to see you, baby, when you wanna love me some more.
Yeah.
and he ducked back in the alley, oh baby. Yes, baby. Ooh, baby. Having me some fun tonight. Yeah, we're gonna have some fun tonight. We're gonna have some fun tonight. Ooh, have some fun tonight. Everything's alright. Have some fun. Have me some fun tonight. A crime, you've got to plead innocent, cause darling, you're not mine. Oh, why should it happen to me? Well, I'm crying, mercy, have mercy on me. The policeman said maybe, the judge, he can't agree, the jury keep on guessing, but the DA says it me. Oh, why should it happen to me? Well, I'm crying, mercy, have mercy on me. The lawyer said plead guilty and tried to cop a plea. But why should I plead guilty when you don't belong to me? Oh, why should it happen to me? Well, I'm crying, have mercy on me. Maybe the judge, he can't agree, the jury keep on guessing, but the DA says it's me. Oh, why should it happen to me? Well, I'm crying, mercy, have mercy on me.
Go, go, have a time. Saturday night, now I'm feeling fine, I wanna lock it up. This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Move.
But if you turn away, you're never gonna feel.